Welcome back to the podcast. Today is Murder Mystery Monday, and today we are talking about Xavier Dupont de Ligonnès. I think that's how you pronounce it. My French is very rusty, but if you have not heard of this case, it is wild. So we are going to talk about it today. So, Xavier had a pretty interesting childhood, but really he just had kind of a regular middle class life. He was raised in kind of an aristocrat family. His dad and him are actually both counts, and they lived in the upper class suburbs of France. Until around 2011. So he was raised very upper class in a Catholic society in a very kind of stuffy conservative family. And when he was about 10 years old, his dad got tired of living in the city that they lived in, and he left to go live somewhere else and left him in the care of his grandmother. So he's now living with his grandmother. And when he's around 20 years old, he meets a woman named Agnes. And she's also a kind of a high class, high society woman. And they are very in love. But while he is in love with her, he is not ready to settle down. So he actually leaves town and, you know, goes off exploring. And when he comes back, he finds that his love, Agnes, has actually become pregnant by another man. And, you know, in this time, but especially in France, it's very against a social norm to marry a woman who has another man's baby, but he decides to do just that. And he adopts the baby as his own and loves him just the same. So now Xavier is married to Agnes and they have a son. This is in the 1990s. They're traveling around France and their family is continuing to grow. And they have four children. At the time of the incident we're about to talk about, Arthur is 20 years old and he is enrolled at a private Catholic college. Thomas is the second oldest. He is 18 and he is also enrolled in college studying music. Their only daughter, Anne, she was a very beautiful girl, they say. She went to a private Catholic school and she modeled for mail order catalogs. And she got very good grades. And their youngest son, he was 13. And it said that he was very popular and well-liked. And he went to the same private Catholic school that his sister Anne did. They have a really good life. And in 2000, they attempt to immigrate from France to Florida, but they're actually unsuccessful. And unfortunately, in this process, the family loses a lot of money. And in this, they decide to go ahead and settle down and buy a house. And they're living a very happy, quiet life in France, in that same city I mentioned earlier that they lived in until 2011. They stay in that city their whole lives, really. Agnes is, they're devoutly religious. They're very Catholic. And she is actually an assistant at the Catholic school where the kids work. And Xavier, is also working. And on the outside, they're a beautiful couple and they love each other very much. But the problem is that behind closed doors, Xavier is very judgmental. He's very military. He was raised very stuffy and high class, and there's a lot of strain on their relationship. It's quoted that there wasn't very much tenderness or sex or attention to his wife, and they just didn't feel happy. And at one point, somebody asked, I think it was Agnes, asked Xavier if he was happy with his life. And his response was, "Yes, I am. But if we all could die tomorrow, that would be better." So clearly, Xavier had a lot of issues going on.
In 2005, Agnes was actually forced to file a police report against Xavier because he assaulted their oldest son, Arthur. He was very stressed, and he was an aristocrat. He was a count, but he still had a lot of trouble creating a steady career for himself. He had a series of businesses. He ran a hotel guide with a membership card program, but none of them ever really became lucrative. So it was very difficult for him to make money, and they relied a lot on Agnes's job, but also money inherited from her family. And in 2011, that money was in danger of running out. They were getting very low on funds. Xavier was very stressed, and he actually took up a mistress in Paris and was cheating on his wife. And he asked the mistress if he could borrow 50,000 euros from her because he was completely desperate and had no one else to borrow from. In an email that he wrote to her in 2010, he was quoted as saying, "Ruined at rock bottom like never before. I'm awake almost every night, and these morbid ideas, burning down the house and giving everyone sleeping pills or killing myself so that Agnes gets 600,000 euros. In any case, my life will end in the next few months if I don't get 25,000 euros immediately. Most of the time, I am not in a dream, but in a nightmare and can't escape except, of course, by doing something radical and final." It's very sad. So, in 2011, in January, Xavier's dad actually passed away, and Xavier went to his apartment. A lot of people thought that he was looking for things of value, but his dad actually had a lot of financial troubles at the end of his life and was nearly living in poverty. So there was really nothing that Xavier could take. The only thing he really inherited was a long rifle, and he began to get really interested in guns following the months after his dad died. He got a gun license, and he was frequenting the shooting range just right outside their city. And sometimes he was even bringing his sons with him to go shooting. He started buying more gun accessories also. It shows that in March, records show he bought a silencer for that gun, and he kind of went on a little ominous shopping spree, they call it. He purchased cement, chalk, bullets, cleaning supplies, garbage bags, a spade, and a trolley. So everything's getting really suspicious. After that, it seemed that there was a big move going on. People around the neighborhood saw Xavier loading things into his car, and then he vanished. He paid off a lot of debt. He paid off bills for his children's private schools, and there was a sign taped to the note, sign taped to the mailbox that said, "Please return all mail to sender." On April 11th, the school that the two youngest children attended, they received a note that said that the family would be pulling their children out of the school because of a sudden move to Australia for business. And this is where things start to get really, really dark. So, in a timeline of events, on April 1st, Arthur did not go to his work to pick up his paycheck. On April 3rd was the very last time that the two youngest children were seen alive. They did not attend school the next day, and it was said that it was because of an illness. On the 4th, Thomas, the second oldest child, had returned to school, but he had been called home by his father, who told him there was a family emergency. He was seen having dinner with his dad alone at a restaurant on April 4th. And then on April 11th, the same day actually that the school was told that the children would be withdrawn, Agnes's relatives and Xavier's relatives received a typed letter, supposedly from Xavier, but it wasn't signed, and it had a lot of grammatical errors, which was very unlike him. You have to remember that he was very high class, very distinguished, and he wouldn't really make mistakes like that. It was a 4-page letter, and in the letter, it explained that he had been he was a covert agent and that he was secretly working for the United States Drug Enforcement Administration. It claimed that the family would be moving to America and had been placed in a federal witness protection program, and that they would not be able to remain in contact, and that his children would be unable to access any social media for an indeterminate amount of time. It also had a lot of instructions about dealing with the family's possessions, which ones should be thrown out, which ones could be given away, and which ones should be sold. It's also said that his car was to be given to a family friend, but the police later found that car, and it was, I believe it was taken as evidence. But it, you know, a lot of strange things are happening, right? So on April 13th, it continues, a neighbor reported her suspicions to the police because she arrived home and found that it had been really, really quiet. They had four children. They were a big family and it was odd for them to be so quiet. So on April 13th, the police came and checked out the house. The bed had been stripped of all linens and some of the photographs were missing from the walls, and the police believed that the family had packed up and left voluntarily. The police end up coming about six times over the course of about a month, I believe. On April 21st, the police visit for the sixth time, I believe. So between April 13th, that was the first visit, April 21st is the sixth visit, and it takes them all of this time. On April 21st, they find the body of Agnes and the four children underneath the patio in the back garden. There were two graves. One had Agnes and Arthur and the youngest child, whose name I cannot pronounce, and the other had Thomas buried separately. And they also had a lot of items with them. They were wrapped in blankets and they were all buried together. And on April 22nd, an autopsy showed that they had presumably been killed, like a day or two, before they were buried. And also Thomas had been killed a couple of days after his mother and his siblings, and that's believed why he was buried separately. They were buried with small religious icons as if there had been some kind of ceremony. And it was also found that their two pet dogs were also in the graves with them. They all had... the autopsy says that they all were killed in their sleep. They were all drugged with sleeping pills. All of the children had been drugged with sleeping pills and then shot twice to the back of the head with the rifle that Xavier got from his father. And Agnes had also been shot twice, but there was no traces of drugs in her system. And it's believed that Agnes actually used a like a sleep apnea machine when she slept. So it's believed that he didn't need to drug her. She already would have been asleep. There were five murders in that house and no traces of blood were found anywhere until that sixth visit when they found that grave under the patio. But at this point, like I said, it's been 6 days or six visits, not 6 days, six visits, April 21st. And the very first visit was April 13th. But, you know, the kids have started not showing up in places on April 1st. This is almost a month between when things first started happening and when the police finally found them. So Xavier, who is believed to be the one to have murdered his family, is gone. They don't know where he is. He's on the run. They didn't really find any signs anywhere, but his gun was gone, and it's believed that he might have intended to kill himself. So now begins the wild goose chase that is the hunt for Xavier. They were able to track his last moves through his bank accounts, security footage, things like that. He stayed in his home in France for a few weeks. A full week after the murder. So about 7 days. On April 8th, he made a post online and sent some emails to family members. And then he left home on April 11th and began traveling south. He was caught in a speed camera along the way, actually. And he got a hotel in a town in southwestern France. And he stayed there for one night before continuing his journey. He moved east, and on the night of April 12th, he was found at another hotel under a false name. And then he left that hotel, continued traveling southeast, and then stayed another night on April 13th in another hotel. So they tracked him all through these places. But then on April 14th, the security camera in a parking lot picked him up leaving a hotel, and he checked out of the hotel on April 15th, and then the last place he was seen was abandoning his car and disappearing on foot with only a backpack on his back, and it was believed that that backpack had his gun in it. Where he left is another place that I cannot pronounce, as I do not know French that well. And it was surrounded by cliffs and mountains, and it would have been a place that would have been really easy for his body to go undetected. But nothing about Xavier's behavior showed that he was trying to hide or that he was trying to go on the run. So a lot of people believe that what he was doing by checking in and out of all of these hotels and traveling and all of this was that he was trying to relive his life. You know, his family did a lot of traveling before their money issues started, and it's believed that maybe he took this trip, this one last trip to southern France, where he had all of these happy memories, and that at the very end he would walk out into this mountainous area and he would kill himself. So there's no one's really sure what happened to him. They did not find his body. After the videotape of him leaving his car and leaving the hotel on foot, there has been no sign of him. They did look in the mountain area. They looked at security cameras and other areas. They've not found him. The only thing that happened after this was that on July 2015, police received a photo that they thought was from Xavier. It was a photograph of two of the children, Arthur and the youngest son. And on the note, on the back, there was a note that said, "I'm still alive," along with the date July 11th of 2015. And the name Xavier Dupont de Ligonnès. And they were never able to track the letter to its source. And they're actually a little suspicious that it's possible that this letter actually was not from him at all and was actually just like a hoax. But either way, they are not sure what happened to Xavier. He is just gone. And that's it. That's the story. You wanted more, right? I want more. I want to know what happens, right? He's just gone. He's gone without a trace. He murdered his four children and his wife and his two dogs, buried them in his backyard with a bunch of statues of the Virgin Mary and other Catholic symbols, drove away and walked into the woods and just left. Isn't that insane? This case, I like to think that my podcast is good, but there is a show on Netflix where they talked about this case. And as I was watching that show, I was blown away by it. It's just crazy. How does a person do this? So Xavier is on the FBI's most wanted list, because he did murder five people. It's really just tragic. I am glad that, I guess, his kids kind of went peacefully as they were all sleeping when they were shot. But it's still just a horrible case. It's so sad. And clearly Xavier was not in his right mind. Clearly he was struggling a lot with a lot of different issues. and with their financial issues and all of that. So, it's a really sad case too, but you know, it's just, I think all of these are sad cases. But yeah, that's it. That's all that I have for you. I feel like there's something else. I feel like I should be telling you more, but that's it. He's just gone. So that's all that I have for you. Sorry that I don't have more. I hope today that you learned something you never would have known. I hope that there is some justice for the families of Agnes and the children who were murdered. And I hope that something comes of this. I hope that, you know, with the TV show that just came out, maybe it'll get more people talking about this and people will see more about this. So I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. What is tomorrow's episode? Let me pull up my calendar. Tomorrow's episode, oh, you're not going to guess this one. Tomorrow's episode is a missing persons case about a girl who lives in North Carolina. That's what I'll give to you because you're not going to guess it anyway. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye.